Hey everyone, it's your host of See Jurassic Right, Stephen Ray Morris here, just dropping in to say I hope you've been enjoying all the new episodes in 2023 and 2024 so far. There are new interviews with filmmakers, musicians, scientists, the screenwriter of Land Before Time, audio essays about the rich history of the Jurassic Park and Jurassic World franchise, and all the news about the upcoming animated show Jurassic World Chaos Theory, and the as-of-yet-untitled Jurassic World sequel coming next summer. I really need your help supporting the show right now, and you can do that by leaving a tip and or giving a monthly follow on Patreon, patreon.com/seejurassicright. There are $1 and $5 tiers, but more is coming. Sharing the show, giving 5-star reviews in Apple Podcasts, and liking and commenting on social, at Stephen Ray Morris on Instagram and Twitter, goes a long way to help boosting the show's visibility again online in this new era. I'm an independent podcaster, and your support is so important and means the world to me in keeping this podcast running. Link to the Patreon is in the show notes. Hold on to your butts. Thank you, and now on to the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Steven here. I am currently standing in Super Nintendo World. I had no idea it was going to be open. Right now, they're doing technical rehearsals, and I renewed my pass, so frankly, I just showed up to ride it. Like, I just went to ride Jurassic and stuff since I had the day off today, and they're just letting people in Nintendo World, and I just got out of the Mario Kart ride. Wow, is all I can say. Anyway, ugh.
Ah! 1, 2, 3, 4.
Filled with awe and fright, see Jurassic Right. Bathe in amber light, see Jurassic Right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, see Jurassic Right. See Jurassic Park.
Hey everyone, Stephen Ray Morris here, and welcome to See Jurassic Right. Happy New Year. I'm so glad to be back. I miss doing this every week. More on that later at the end, and you know, all that good stuff. But right now, I just wanted to put together this episode about my experience going to Super Nintendo World at Universal Studios Hollywood, because it was kind of an accident. But, and you know, if you're not following theme park news, it always feels very... Everything kind of feels very far away to me personally, where it's like, all right, that thing's going to open in 2 years. So it kind of caught even me by surprise, where it was like, this thing was being built because I have a Universal Studios pass. So, you know, I'm seeing the progress a decent amount. You know, I try to go, you know, once a month or something like that when I have my pass, but I hadn't been in a couple months. And just so you know, this is going to be full spoiler talk and everything. So if you want to be surprised about what's in Super Nintendo World and, you know, the Mario Kart ride and some of the other aspects of it, just turn back now. This whole episode is going to just get into my day at the park. And I essentially was going, because I basically had to renew my card and renew my pass or whatever last week. And yeah, I just was like, well, I haven't been in a couple months and I'll just go, because usually... if I'm doing sort of like a half day Universal, just want to ride a couple of rides sort of thing, that's kind of how it goes, where it's like, I'll just go, all right, Jurassic, Mummy, Transformers, you know, and that's, and then I eat lunch and then that's kind of it. You know, I think anybody who has a pass at a theme park knows the sort of small joy of like kind of being able to casually go to a theme park and do that kind of thing. It's very, you know, it's one of the perks I think of like living close to theme parks. You know, growing up, I worked at Disneyland, but I also had a pass. And so I remember in high school all the time, we would like go in the morning and then see how long we could go on rides easily until it got too crowded and stuff like that. But yeah, for those who don't know, Super Nintendo World is there. There's one in Japan, but it's, you know, it's Mario, it's Luigi, it's Princess Peach, it's Bowser. It's all your Nintendo buddies. And it's kind of interesting that there was this partnership struck between Universal and Nintendo, but then it sort of makes sense because, you know, this April we're going to be getting the Mario movie from Illumination, which they do the Minions, and Minions is a huge part of Universal. So it sort of all starts to, all the dots sort of start to connect and make sense for why, you know, Super Nintendo World is part of Universal Studios. And yeah, it was very funny because, yeah, it was like going to the park just to be like, all right, I'm going to fix this, have to, you know, whatever with my pass. And I'm like, all right, I'll just ride a couple of rides. And I knew Super Nintendo World was opening soon. I just unfortunately didn't get to do one of the signups, and the signup thing process was kind of a mess anyway. So I was just like, eh, you know, I have a pass. I'll let, you know, people who want to go more go first. And, you know, I'm not going to try and, you know, sneak in there or whatever. But then I sort of ended up doing that because it was a Monday. So I had the day off work. And I just started, you know, whenever I go to Universal Studios, and I don't know if anyone else does this, but I usually make a beeline for the Jurassic ride. That's kind of the thing I do first to kick off my day. And then I kind of do everything else from there. But when I went down, because essentially the Super Nintendo World is to the left of Transformers, I was like, I'm just going to go check out, you know, like just, you know, maybe see if I can get a peek or, you know, whatever. And that, well, people are just walking right on in. And I was like, all right, you know, it was just sort of that thing of like, are they going to check? Like, you know, oh, can I use my platinum pass? Be like front of the line, you know, whatever. But no, they're just letting people in. And I shouldn't have been surprised because Universal does the different thing that they do that's different from Disney. Well, I don't know necessarily, but just from the outside, it seems like Universal does a lot of soft launches. Like even when back in 2019, when I went to the Jurassic World ride to ride the new ride, we essentially like, I remember going at least like a week or so before like any official, because I ended up going to the premiere, which was like at the end of July. And I think it was like the middle of July when the Jurassic World ride was like just starting to let people on and stuff. So I shouldn't have been surprised. And maybe that was like my subconscious being like, just go walk over there and check it out. Maybe you'll be able to get in, or they're letting a small select number of people in or something like that. So, and again, spoilers, you know, as we go into it, but, you know, there's the huge Super Nintendo World logo. And then, of course, it's a tunnel or a tube. It's a tube that's a tunnel. And then you just, that was such a smart design choice because, again, I think a lot of people were looking at like the Japan Super Nintendo World or looking at, you know, my thing all the time and with theme parks is that it's so hard to judge the, you know, what's going to go on at a theme park by videos. It feels like you're kind of only capturing one dimension of the experience, and things that might seem a little lackluster, you know, on video, I think it doesn't do it quite justice for when, you know, you walk through this tunnel, you walk through the green tube, and then like, boom, you're in Super Nintendo World. You're in a, you know, multi-storied, layered, busy, full-on Super Mario world. Like, it feels like you're stepping into like the map or like truly any level from a Mario game, you know, especially, I feel like they're really definitely like leaning towards the 2D world of things, but it's been a minute since I've played, you know, any particular Mario game. Although I did get the classics package on Switch with Super Mario 64 and Super Mario Sunshine. Like those are the two biggest Mario games I played, as well as this new Super Mario World for the 3DS, I believe was the one that I played. But, you know, growing up, I obviously was like a huge, I've always been a Nintendo kid for the most part. Well, that's not true. I was a Nintendo kid from the N64 onwards, like the GameCube and the N64 were my systems growing up. But, yeah, it's kind of breathtaking, truly, with like Peach's Castle and, again, you know, Bowser's Castle, a lot of castles. And I just want to break down the park really quickly in a way that, you know, kind of you can wrap your head around, where it's the main ride and really the only ride is the Mario Kart ride. And then you have four mini games, as I like to call them. They're basically carnival games, which I'll explain a little bit more in a second. And then there's the restaurant, the Toadstool Cafe, which I did not go to. So I won't have any, you know, food reviews or anything like that of that. And then there's kind of just the general, I just hit the mic. And then there's kind of just a general land that you can sort of participate and enjoy using a armband. And so this is kind of a new concept for me, you know, as far as this goes, but essentially for a separate price, I believe it was $40, which, you know, I'll jump ahead of like, you know, it's really funny because, you know, I listen to Podcast the Ride, and when they talk about like the history of Walt Disney and how much he hated carnivals and circuses and those kind of things, it is interesting to think that we're sort of circling back to this idea of, you know, I mean, you know, we don't need to go into like Disney and all the, you know, and you have to pay for Fast Pass or Lightning Lanes and all that stuff. But it is interesting that like, they're finding ways to, you know, monetize or add additional charges on things. I mean, I will say this, for Super Nintendo World, it makes sense that in general, this is a very interactive land. It's a video game franchise. So it makes sense that they want to have some interactivity, you know, and again, on Podcast The Ride, they talk all the time about, you know, the difference between theme parks when we grew up where, you know, we're sort of reliving these adventures, but, you know, we're a viewer, whereas nowadays they try to put you in the perspective. They try to give you a task. And I know that ultimately, like, some people aren't going to like that. And I think that's, you know, a fair assessment. You know, for the Super Mario Kart ride, I really enjoyed it. I really loved it. It's just very overwhelming because you're wearing the AR glasses. You're trying to shoot, you know, the shells to, you know, get the characters who are actually in the AR headset, you know, you're trying to shoot them. And then also there's a fully, you know, fully decorated dark ride on the inside that you're racing around. And so it's all these levels. And like, if we're just going to get into comparing things, like if you're to compare it to like the Buzz Lightyear carnival game thing, or the more recent Spider-Man Spider Labs ride as well, too, where you're shooting the wrist things. I would say the Mario Kart ride is the best version of these kind of arcade-like game ride, dark ride situations, because it's like I was saying about the land itself, the form fits the function. It makes sense that if you're in a Mario Kart ride, you do want to be, there is a joy in shooting shells and collecting coins. Like, that is so awesome. And yes, again, you know, there's this special armband that you can purchase to play the carnival games and things like that. But again, it feels like such a hybrid of everything. And at least I think if you are somebody who plans on visiting the park a lot, the nice thing about buying the armband, which I got Princess Peach, is that you can use it, you know, every time. So, and what's really cool about it is that you can connect it to the Universal Parks app and you can go on quests, you can collect stamps. Like, this is the kind of stuff that I feel like if you're a kid, it's like a whole other layer. And it feels like it's almost like an evolution of the Harry Potter wand stuff in that part of the park. You know, there is a supreme joy in getting to, you know, hit your hand on the blocks and hear the like ba-ding, 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 and get the coins like that. There's just like, you know, for a certain generation, or I mean, I guess Mario at this point has transcended multiple generations. There's just like that, hearing those things and seeing those colorful shapes. You know, they really didn't tone anything down. It really feels like you've stepped into, you know, Super Mario World, Mario Party, Mario Kart, you know, all those sorts of those sort. To me, those feel like the defining characteristics of the land. I mean, especially where it's like you're just looking at a full Princess Peach's castle, like straight from Super Mario 64. Like that was truly. That was like staggering. Like I just was like, this is makes me so happy. And so again, to reiterate, you have the Super Mario Kart ride, and then you have the four carnival games, which I did three out of the four, because again, this was considered sort of a tech rehearsal day, and they were doing, you know, tests on things and stuff. Like one of the games I like was one of like, there was only a handful of people that got to do before they closed it. But they're all kind of various stuff. You know, I mean, I don't need to go into super detail, but one of them is hitting POW blocks to have a certain timing. And one of them is making a Goomba, like you're like twisting a thing to make sure the Goomba is like standing so he doesn't fly off. And there's a thwomp, you know, the big like rock guys that like smash down. Like there's a, like a matching kind of puzzle Tetris-y type game. And so, you know, I think those would be cool enough as is, but with the armband, again, you're collecting points and like trophies and keys and things like that. And I actually, unfortunately, didn't think to collect one of the prize from getting three of the keys. So I have to go back and do that. I actually almost went today as of this recording. I was like, maybe I'll go back, but I noticed that a lot of the stuff was closed today. So the Jurassic ride was closed today for some reason. So I didn't go back. But, you know, I'm obviously have a pass, so I definitely want to go back. But it was very exciting. It was very overwhelming. Again, it's my first time going. I only went on the Mario Kart ride once, but I enjoyed it. And I could, that feels like a ride that would be so much fun to go with friends, where you're just like, you're all in the cart together. Maybe you're in a separate cart. Because I did like that ride, it's twofold, where it like it's a little bit slower than I thought it would be, but it makes sense because there's so much going on that you want to be able to focus and hit all the other racers with your Koopa shells and stuff like that. So it's kind of like a mixed thing there, but I it feels like something that the more you go on it, maybe like the, you know, it just feels like you'll get better at it. And I just feel like it's, and I think there's like enough there in that ride that if you don't necessarily want to focus on that, I mean, the literal fact is they built Rainbow Road. I'm in total like awe. Like in that was like a moment on the ride where I was like, I had to just be like, you know, set down the Koopa shells and just be like in awe of that we're getting, you know, that we got this Super Mario, you know, the Super Nintendo world. And it was just really awesome.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, how long have I been going for? I've only been going for 15 minutes, but I mean, it's, you know, it's, this is first impressions, you know, this is really the first impressions of the land. One of the interesting things that I think is this new dynamic with theme parks and creating more interactive experiences, you know, not just on rides, but, you know, apps and things like that is, you know, this is a new era for this kind of thing. And, you know, it is unfortunate that, you know, you get charged extra for some of this stuff. And, but, you know, it's, I guess the hope is, you know, you return and visit. And the thing about the Super Nintendo World is not only do you, you know, use the armband and you get to interact with all these things in the park, all these great Easter eggs, and you get to basically be Mario and hit the, you know, hit the blocks and hear the coin sounds. But then also those coins are translated into the app. And then a friend of the show, Diana, she mentioned to me that you can actually use that armband as an amiibo and put your coins in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. So like there's a translation into other aspects. And in the park, as well as on the app, there is a live updating rankings, not only of yourself. So like I literally saw my name, Stramo, you know, my username on there. Like I saw that in the park on the, you know, on the screen, like of the rankings of how many coins and things collected. But also because the armbands, you get Mario, Toad, Yoshi, Luigi, Daisy. Did I say Mario and Peach? Yeah. And so they have like team rankings. So then it collects all the different like teams that you're on to, you know, to give rankings for that. So it's like, I kind of admire the part of the creation of this world of that they want you to come back again and again, which is pretty cool because, yeah, how do you create new experiences? And so I like that idea of hopefully maybe there's kind of ever evolving things. And I would love it if they put more armband stuff throughout the park. I would love that personally. And I still have to go back, obviously, because I haven't been to the Toadstool Cafe. I went to the Jurassic Cafe this last time. I had to go. It was so funny. It was like really cold and kind of rainy. And I was like, I'm still going to go on the Jurassic ride because I can't not go to Universal. And if the ride's open, I can't not go to the park. So that's about it. I was very excited that I just sort of inadvertently got to go. You know, I felt very lucky that I got to sneak in there. But let me know if you're planning on going. Let me know if you've also managed to sneak in during these tech rehearsals. It's not sneaking in. They're letting everybody in during these tech rehearsals. But and, you know, it just makes me think like there's so much you could do with this technology that I could see them implementing in Jurassic stuff as well, too. You know, Universal is such a place that's near and dear to my heart. I'm so glad that I've had a pass for, I mean, now going on, because Karen in Georgia gave me my first pass in 2018. And yeah, I'm just so thankful that I have been able to go and just sort of make it part of my, you know, daily routine and stuff like that. I talked to Megan Baker recently back on the pod. That episode will be coming out shortly. You know, she was the original who inspired me to just go, you know, this idea that if you live in a place that's with a theme park and if it's something that you really want to do, making it sort of part of your routine, because it's just a lot of fun. And yeah, I'm excited to keep going back to Super Nintendo World. But if anybody has any other specific questions that I can answer, obviously hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at Stephen Ray Morris or in our Facebook group, See Jurassic Right. I really miss you guys. I've been working at editing on things and stuff. You know, it's just, last year was it was a shit show for most people, so I don't have to go into it, but I miss you. There's a lot of great episodes in the can that I'm working on, and I hope to see you out there because, you know, just because we don't have a new Jurassic movie on the horizon doesn't mean there isn't a lot of awesome Jurassic Park stuff coming up. It's the 30th anniversary. Oh my gosh. We have to think that we're going to do something fun this year. I just know it. And also, Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous was nominated for a GLAAD award. And that's really amazing. And I just couldn't be prouder to be a Jurassic Park fan. So there's a lot of great stuff coming up. Lots of cool things. Jurassic Park has been around for 30 years. That's wild. And yeah, I hope to see you very soon. So thanks everyone for listening. Bye-bye.
Waha! Let's go! A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.